Anybody have any needs this morning? Let me just check with congregation. We know that you have needs because this side of the room, there were a few hands that went up. And for the rest of you that won't raise your hands, it's okay. You don't have to show us that. God knows it. God knows it. And I want to go to the book of Luke this morning, chapter 18, and we're going to begin at verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was going by. So get the picture. Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. He's going through Jericho. And as he's going through the town, there's a crowd following him. And there's a beggar, a blind beggar, by the side of the road where Jesus is obviously traveling. And the blind beggar hears all the commotion. What's going on? Because he can't see what's going on. He can only hear what's going on, right? And so they say, it's Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. You ever feel like sometimes when you're in a problem or in a situation that God is like passing by? You ever feel that way? Like God just bypassed you altogether? You know, like you're on the side of the road of life sometimes, and you know, you're broken down there, and the cars are whizzing by, and you're looking in the rearview mirror. Will a state trooper please pull up and help me? That's the only time you want to see those lights, right? When you're stopped by the side of the road. I know that. So, but you know, sometimes, you know, the cars whiz by, right? Zoom, 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 right? And you're sitting there wondering, are you ever going to be helped? Anybody ever go through that in life? Of course we do, right? See, we're talking about realism here. We're going to get real. This man is blind, and he's a beggar. He's obviously someone who is by the side of the road hoping that some of the people in the crowd will give him some money so that he can find a way to eat. And so there he is by the side of the road, but he hears this commotion, and he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is coming by. So he's going to pass by, right? See, Jesus is going to keep right on going, isn't he? So he began shouting. Oh. He began shouting. See, listen, when you're in trouble and you're by the side of the road, whatever that means literally in your life, whenever you're going through something in life, you need to, and you know that God might be passing you by, right? So you think, what do you have to do? You have to shout. Yeah, you have to get God's attention. It's okay to shout out to God, I need some help. It's okay to do that. It really is. Or you can say it in the quiet voice. God, help me. Please. God hears, whether it's the faintest cry or the loudest shout, makes no difference. God hears every one of your cries, even if they're silent whimpers sometimes. Even when the words can't come out, God hears. God hears, always. And he shouts, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. The crowds ahead of Jesus tried to hush the man. See, sometimes I look at that and I see how sometimes we that are around other people, when people are going through some tough stuff, sometimes we get uncomfortable, don't we? When people are going through difficulties, we don't always know what to say or how to say it or what to do. And sometimes we're just like, okay, well, I'll pray for you. I'll be seeing you later. Got to go. Because we're uncomfortable in our humanness, aren't we? Right? And the other thing that happens is sometimes we get afraid and fear tries to stop us from continuing to ask for help. Sometimes we're shouting out, hey, Jesus of Nazareth, help me, have mercy on me. And you think he's going to go right on by you, right? And then fear tells you, oh, be quiet. God doesn't care about you. You're insignificant. You don't matter. You see what the crowd represents here? They tried to hush the man, didn't they? Your fears will try to crush your spirit. Your fears will try to stop you from calling out to God. Your fears will make you think that God doesn't care about you. That fear is a liar. Fear is nothing more than something trying to hush you, to stop you, to keep you stuck in that beggar place, in that blindness, to try to keep you blinded to God's power and mighty and grace and all the things that God is. So the crowd says, hey, be quiet. So you know what the man does? What I want you to do all the time, whenever you have a problem and you're seeking help from God, I don't care if it's 1 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock in the day, doesn't matter when it is that you're going through something, I want, even though your fears are telling you, oh, well, I can't bother the pastors, they're too busy, I can't call my friends, I can't ask for help, nobody really cares. That desperation and that despair is what hurts and harms people the most, when people feel that they don't matter to God or to anyone else. And that will keep you stuck in that place. And in fact, if you stay in the darkness long enough, that's all you'll know. See, this man was blind, but he was blind not only sometimes as we are in the literal, but sometimes we're blind to God's greatness, aren't we? And what God can do for us. Or that you're blind to your greatness of who you are in God. That God cares about each and every one of you equally. There are no favorites in God's kingdom. There aren't. And there aren't any rejects either. See, there's nobody better or worse than anybody else. We're all equal in God's eyes. We all equally matter to God. We're all equally as important. Whether we're a blind beggar or a king, we are equal to God and God's people, right? The Bible tells us that. I'm not going to preach that sermon today, but I may. Who's to say? We got time, right? I got two mics to work from. When the battery goes dead on this one, I got another one. See how God is. All right. All right. If that doesn't give you fear, nothing will. All right. All right, so the crowd's ahead of Jesus. They're ahead of Jesus now, right? Jesus is, you know, the crowd's in front of him. He's walking in the middle of them, evidently, because there's crowds in front, he's in the middle, there's crowds behind him, right? The crowd's ahead of him, they see the beggar. And they, you know, these people sometimes in our lives and people in this world, they look at people by the side of the road, they look at people who are less, as though they're less than, they look at people who, because they're some not of the right ethnic background or the right sexual orientation or the right gender or the right whatever, pedigree, whatever it might be, this elitist mentality that sometimes says somebody's better than somebody else, they see this beggar by the side of the road, he starts to ask Jesus, have mercy on me, what's the crowd want to do? You see the problem with crowds sometimes. They try to hush the man. They say, be quiet. So here's what I want you to do as this man did. Next verse. But he only shouted louder. Give me the other microphone. I'm going to double whammy you. Give me a megaphone if I need it. Listen, church. No matter who you are, when you are in need, and if you feel like you're just a beggar by the side of the road that someone has cast aside, that no one's cared about, because you think you're less than, or the world wants to tell you you're less than, whoever that may be, or we in the world sometimes, people want to put people in pecking orders as though some are better or worse than others because of the color of their skin, or where they come from, or what their religious background is, or whatever it might be, the language that they speak or don't speak. There's nobody that God sees as different or someone that God sees as an outcast. So because you have a need, when someone tells you to hush, what are you going to do? Shout louder. Shout louder. Shout louder. Jesus, have mercy on me. Our world needs mercy today more than needs anything. The mercy of Jesus Christ. We need to show mercy to people, whoever they are, wherever they're from, whatever their background, whatever their screwed up, messed up life was or is, whatever mistakes they've ever made, whether they're begging at the side of the street or they're living in a castle. There's no one person is better or less than another, right? So listen, you all. Use guys. Everybody. I'm articulating, I guess. Listen, please. When you are in need and someone tries to tell you to hush, speak up louder. louder and louder and speak for the oppressed. Speak for those who cannot speak up. Speak up loud and clear that God will help them and ask God to help them. Right? Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 40. When Jesus heard him, he stopped. Now get the picture. Big crowd of people, right? He's on the way through Jericho into Jerusalem, right? He's on the way. There's crowds of people in front of him. He's in the middle of that crowd. There's people behind him, including his disciples and so forth, right? He's in a throng of people. It's massive, massive people. And he's walking, right? He's walking in that crowd. And then when he hears the man shouting out, "Son of David, have mercy on me," what does Jesus do? Stops right in his tracks. And all the people behind him, bam, bump into him. And those hush people, they keep on walking. They walked away. Let them walk away. Keep on walking. Keep on going. The road to hell is broad. Keep going. The road to life is narrow. That's the road Jesus is on. That's the road we're on. Let the others go forward. So they went, those hushers. And there was the blind beggar by the side of the road, still yelling, "Jesus." Jesus stopped. See, you thought maybe Jesus would keep on going. You would think that the man would have hushed. You would have think that Jesus or his disciples might have said to the crowd, "Okay, settle down. Everybody be quiet now." No, he stops. And then he turns to the blind beggar. You ever feel like a blind beggar in your life some days? Begging God for a lot of things sometimes, don't we? Things that we don't understand in our life, things that are happening in our world that we don't understand, things that are going on all around us over which we have no control. We feel like we're begging God for help all the time, and it's getting more and more intense, isn't it? But what does Jesus do when we call out for help, church? Stops in his tracks. For one person, look at this, one person. He's in a crowd of people. He stops for one. Does one life matter? Does your life matter? Yes. Does every person on the planet's life matter? Yes. Even if there were only one of us who had committed enough sins that we deserved death, he would have died for us on the cross to give us eternal life. So he stops. And he says, "Bring the man to me." He ordered it. Now Jesus is in control. Watch out when Jesus gets in control. The world needs to watch out because Jesus is still in control. And people can do what they want to do. And they can shout hushing all over the place. But God, as we call out to God for what our needs are, God is going to stop and order that person to come to him. And order all this chaos to end. You'll see. You'll see. So he asks the man to come over to him. And he says to the man, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" Now, what do you think the man needs? Money. He's a beggar. Right? Money's going to solve his problems. Okay, boys, everybody in the crowd, let's take up a collection for the blind beggar. Come on, where's my little change for change jar? Okay, where'd it go? What does the man need? What do you think what do you think he needs? See, here's the thing. We don't know what he needs. We don't know what any person needs. We Christians sometimes, we know that people need Jesus, right? So we say to ourselves, okay, I got to tell people about Jesus. If they just had Jesus, boom, they're done. They're all good. Well, maybe that's not what the part of Jesus that they need. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because what is Jesus? Multifaceted of all kinds of great and awesome gifts. Like, for example, what if this man needed forgiveness? Do you think Judas would give him that? What if he needed peace of mind? What if he needed comfort? What if he just needed for somebody to stop and listen to him, pay attention to him? How do we know what a person needs? Oh, a great thing that Jesus always does, that I want us always to do, because we don't know what your needs are. We sometimes are great mind readers, I must admit. However, most of the time we're not. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" He asks the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the man replies, "I want to see." Now, wait a minute. What's this guy asking for? The man's blind. What's he asking for? The impossible. He's asking for the impossible. You know, I can just imagine Peter's going, hey, Jesus, this guy's blind. Like, he can't see. So, like, he doesn't wear glasses or anything. And, like, there's no optometrist or ophthalmologist that's ever helped him see. And, like, no vitamins in the world have ever helped him see better. And, like, he eats all kinds of carrots, but he still can't see. So, like, Jesus, can you give him something else? Because let's be realist. The man's blind. How many in this room really believe he's going to help him see? What? Wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that Jesus does the impossible? So you can ask for the impossible? But what if he doesn't give you that? See, and Jesus said, well, let's just keep on going, I suppose. And Jesus said, all right, you can see. Your faith has healed you. Who said I told you so? Instantly, the man could see and he followed Jesus, praising God, and all who saw it praised God too. Whew. What a miracle, huh? Wow. So on the scale of 1 to 10, how, like, impossible was this? 11. So, why do you suppose we don't get what we ask for? Wow, the crowd's like, wah-ha-ha-ha, I don't know the answer to that question. Anybody in this room blind? Real physically blind, yes. Could the rest of you that are blind also raise your hands? Because many of you are blind. Because you don't always see. You don't always see how great your life is. You don't always see how awesome God is. You don't always see who you are in Christ. You don't always see what God can do for you specifically. I believe in the law of supply and demand. It's a capitalistic kind of thought, but for every need, there's a supply, right? And when the demand goes up, the supply goes down. That's the law of supply and demand. That's the world's law of supply and demand. Now, with God, it's just the opposite, because we know that God is the God of opposites for us. As the demand goes up, what happens with the supply? It goes up. Huh? So, if every time you demand of something from God, the supply is increasing. So what does that tell me when you don't ask anything of God? What does that tell me about your thought process? That perhaps you're blind to the law of God's supply and demand, which I actually reverse it and call it demand and supply. For every time we go to God and ask for what we need, and here's the thing. Sometimes we don't know what we need, do we? Because I don't know about you, because I always think, well, let's see, we're trying to make some renovations here in the church. In order for that to happen, we need more money. See, you know the answer. Is that really what we need? No, we need more ideas. We need more people that know how to build something. You see how you go with the only thing that's one demand, one supply mechanism? There are infinite ideas, aren't there? There are infinite methods of fixing a problem, aren't there? What we have to do on our end is ask. Because I believe this. I'm going to say it to you personally. I'm going to say it to everybody out there. We have not because we ask not. And on the other side of that, when we have a need, sometimes instead of it being so specific, like I want to see, which that was an impossibility. I want to see too. I want to see people's lives transformed. I want to see people thrive. I want to see people believe. I want to see people ask for help when they need it. I want to see people really go up to God and ask for the absolute impossible need that they might have. Even if it's only a need for peace of mind. What if this man asked, Lord, I just want peace of mind? Would that be a good one to ask for? Could we use a little more peace of mind, all of us? I guess what I'm trying to say is this. I'm getting the picture of this man. He's a blind beggar by the side of the road. He hears that Jesus is walking by. He's heard of all the miracles he's performed. He probably says to himself, while he's lying there by the side of the road, what have I got to lose? I've heard that this man performs miracles. I might as well ask for a miracle too. What do you got to lose? To ask God for what you really need. Something valuable that will last forever. See, here's the thing. With this particular man, they could have given him money. That's a temporary solution, isn't it? Right? Money's temporary. It solves a temporary problem, because then you need more for the next problem that comes along, right? But what if you had contentment? What if whether you had much or little, you were content? Wouldn't you rather have contentment than money? You see how you have to raise up what it is you ask for? Ask for something really big and impossible. How many of you want unconditional love? That's impossible. It doesn't exist. Does it? Have you asked for it? Do you have what you need? I guess what I'm doing this morning is giving you permission to ask for the impossible, what you once perceived as impossible. Just imagine for just a second a blind man by the side of the road who cannot see. And they say, bring the man to me. And it says that the man is right there in front of Jesus. How did he get there? Think about that for a second. I want you all to close your eyes for just a second. And I want you to stand up for just a second. And I want you to come towards me right now. Come towards me. Oh, I'm not going to talk. And some of you are cheating because you have your eyes open. Now, see? Oh, of course you do. Of course you do. Now, how easy is it to get to Jesus right now? How easy is it? Now, let me ask a question. Is there anybody in the room who can see? Is there anybody in the room who would be willing to help the blind people find their way to Jesus? You see what a church does, right? The hushers are gone. We don't have any hushers in here. If somebody shouts out, "I need you, God," we go, "Let's go help." We stop what we're doing. If we're in the middle of a church service, whether we're on Facebook or Uzu or Wazoo, wherever we're at, doesn't matter. I'm making up something, I know. But all I'm trying to say is this. If you have a need in the middle of a church service, it's okay to raise your hand and we'll stop everything and pray for you. We will do that. Hushers to ushers. Just take the H and get away with it. All right, so. How do you think that man got to Jesus? Jesus stopped. He didn't go to the man, did he? I have a vision in my mind that the man wanted to get to Jesus so much that he went, he was going to get through that crowd one way, shape, or form or another, wasn't he? You see what I want for you, church? I want you that no matter what you're going through, whether you think you're insignificant and your little problem is nothing, you know, you're not blind, you're not crippled, you're not going through difficult times, but you have a need nonetheless. It may not be as grave as someone having breast cancer. It may not be as grave as someone who had a stroke. It might not be as grave as someone that's lost a loved one. It might not be that big a deal. But listen, even the insignificant small little things that bother you matter to God. They do. Every need that you have, God cares about. If your heart is hurting, if it's been crushed, if it's been broken, God wants to heal you. And it's okay. Let us stop everything and go to you and say, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I know some of you, when I walk up to you and I ask you what you want me to do for you, you say to me, "Just be quiet. You hush me. I don't want to tell you what's going on with me. It's dark. But you're safe here. It's okay. Because when Christ is in me or you or whoever, we're going to help heal you. We're going to love you. We're going to pray for a miracle for you, for whatever it is you need." So the question is this: how bad do you want what it is you need? How much do you need it? How much do you need peace of mind? How much do you need forgiveness? How much do you need change? How much do you need happiness and joy again? How much do you need God? Shout out then. Shout out that you need it. And if you're on your way and you can't get to Christ, the ushers will help you get there. And church, I'm telling you now, if you know of someone in need, let us know. We need to know that. No secrets here. No shame here. This is safe. This is secure. We love you. God loves you. So close your eyes for just a second. And those of you that are standing, find your way back to your seat with your eyes closed. Now, I'm wondering, those of you that can see that are sitting, can you kindly help the other people find their way back to their seat? This is the lesson in, see, we're here to help. We're here to help. We're here to help. I don't remember where your seat is, but I'm going to help you find it anyway. Isn't it fun being followers of Christ? So, as we close this, I would be remiss if I did not say to you that communion time is coming. Jesus is here. We ask you, what do you want Jesus to do for you? Get it straight in your mind. Think about what it is, even if it sounds impossible. And when we open up the communion table, we're going to ask you, as your need arises, and I know we're more orderly than this, usually where we have the ushers lead you, but I want you, when you're ready, to come and get what you need, to make that demand of God today, where you finally say, I must have peace of mind. I must have joy. I must have forgiveness. I must have a new heart that loves everyone. I must be free of anxiety and fear. Whatever it is that you feel you need God for today, when you decide what that is, you get up and you come for communion. So the ushers are going to stay seated, because now you're going to find what you need at this altar when you're ready. Jesus is passing by. Don't miss the opportunity to come get exactly what you need. Make the demand and watch God supply it. And your faith in God will make you whole. Come and take yourself.